Welcome to the Abiloute Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
All right, open your Bibles. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The title of my message today is called, Put Your Hands to the Plow. Put Your Hands to the Plow. I want you to think about something while you're turning there. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. One of the things that I really desire about this message is that this message will not come across as legalistic or another to-do or cast more shame and condemnation on you, like, oh my goodness, why haven't I been serving or doing what I'm supposed to be doing, whatever. That's not the focus of this message. That is not the desire of this message. The centerpiece of this message I really want to be about God's grace working in your life, what He has made you to do, about the fruitfulness that God destined you in the kingdom for, and seeing that and embracing that, and not just having, you know, another thing you feel guilty you got to show up to do, but you have something inside of you that you really believe. And I want to fan a flame to your belief system today. What do you really believe about what God made you to do? That's what I really want to center on today. And I want you to walk away with. You know, all of us get inspired by guys like the Apostle Paul. All of us get inspired by guys like Martin Luther, who, was the point person in the Reformation. And all of us getting inspired by guys like Billy Graham, right? Women even like Marilyn Hickey, right? And Joyce Myers. And dynamic people that have obviously, whether we agree with everything they've done in their life or not, that have obviously sowed in their life. They've plowed and they've worked in their life long enough to where when they look back, there is fruitfulness coming out of their life that inspires us. Right? Listen, you can live a life like that. I'm convinced God destined you and me to all live lives just like that. I don't believe we're all going to have the same outcome. God made us different. We have to embrace that. But God made us to be fruitful. God made us to be fruitful. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Wow, I plead with you to give your bodies. Here we come to the free will choice that you and I all have, isn't it? Each one of us has a choice to choose. What are we going to do with our life? How are you going to invest your life? And Paul is pleading to the Corinthians. These guys got all kinds, are the Romans. I'm going to preach. There's a passage out of Corinthians in here. We'll get there. We're not there yet. He's pleading with the Romans to give their bodies and not keep them. You can kind of guard your whole life and protect it, right? And keep it just kind of the way you want. But Paul is not saying this for his own gain and benefit. He wants these Romans here that he's speaking to get something. He's trying to fan a flame to something in their life so they understand what God made them for. That they live in a way that would not be average. They live in a way that truly, as it comes to say here, that would be, you know, fulfilling the purposes of God. But he knew they had to give up their hearts to do it. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. That we actually take our whole life and offer it over as a living and holy sacrifice. But listen, a sacrifice has to be given, not taken. So it's got to come from your heart to give your own self to God as a living, like, sacrifice. You don't just give yourself, you die, and then you're done. Like animal sacrifices, you kill the animal, it can't do anything anymore, right? It's dead. The cool thing about the kingdom is you die to your selfish nature, and then your spirit man, the grace of God, gets to live through you. And you get to fulfill the perfect will of God. It can be done. You can do it. Pretty awesome opportunity, I think. This is truly the way to worship Him. Think about that. Sometimes we get limited in our mindset about what worship is all about. Just thinking about music, which is a beautiful way where we sacrifice our whole bodies and life and song together to exalt God. It's about what we're doing, not just the music, right? We're using our instruments. We're using everything we have. It's like the Bible just says, grab everything you got and start smacking it around. Bang it together. All for Jesus. Right? That's symbolism for your whole life. Like when we're just worshiping, we're just grabbing all kinds of stuff we invented. We invented all this stuff to worship God. He likes that. He wants us to take everything in our life and just turn it into a way to worship Him. Living sacrifice. You're totally alive. You're totally dead at the same time. You've given up all of your own rights as a sacrifice to Him. This is the true way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We're talking about belief systems again right here. See what I'm saying? Like God wants to change the way you think, what you believe, because when you change that, then you understand you're going to live according to what you believe. When no one else is around, what do? You do what you believe. You live what you believe. You do what you really believe in. If you really believe you need intimacy with God to be fulfilled, then when you're all alone and you're by yourself, you're going to start worshiping Him and seeking His face because you know you need Him because that's what you really believe, right? Hungry for the Word, or you really believe that when you're all independent by yourself, God, I just really want to invest in other people. I want to make a difference in their life. Then you're going to be motivated from the inside of what God is doing in you outside to reach and touch another person's life, right? God wants to influence the way you think today. He wants to change the way you think. Wants to inspire what you truly believe about who He made you to be, the destiny He put on your life, what He shaped you to do, and the fruitfulness that He desires to see coming out of your life. I'm using this passage out of Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Jesus told him, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Jesus, this is the context. I'm going to totally rip this thing out of context and use it because I want it. Okay, so I'm just going to draw this thing out and I'm going to use this whole concept of plowing to help us remember what I'm talking about today. And, you know, even though it's not perfectly in context, that doesn't matter. So deal with it. No, love it. Love it. It is in the context of this, though, that really does apply, is that in this context in Luke chapter 9, is that people are coming up to Jesus and saying, Jesus, we want to follow you. And they come all in. They're all excited. They're like, we want to do this thing. And then Jesus goes, look, this is going to be hard. This is going to take a lot of sacrifice. You are going to struggle if you follow me. I don't even have a place to put my head at night. I sleep on rocks, man. Do you really want to do that? They're like, I don't know. And then they're like, well, hey, I really want to do it. He goes, okay, follow me. And the guy's like, well, I got to go bury the dead. And Jesus goes, let the spiritual dead bury the spiritual dead. You're called to preach the gospel. You got a job. Even the New Living Translation says you have a duty to do, right? You have a duty before God. It's to preach the kingdom of God. He's like, you don't got time for that stuff. And then this context, another person is saying to him, like, look, I want to follow you. And they're like, well, I got to go get everything just right or whatever. And he's like, look, man, don't look to the right or the left. You got to be focused here. If you're plowing in the kingdom, don't look back. You get all messed up when you're plowing something and you start looking backwards. Right? You just start plowing this big old crooked messed up deal. You got to keep your eyes on the prize. You got to stay focused on what God has made you to do, what God has called you to do specifically. So my first point is this, is that we're all called to plow. All of us are called to plow. Each one of us is called to plow. Where do you begin? Where do you begin? Where do you feel called to plow? You know, in the kingdom, there's plowers, not draggers, right? I love it. Verse 11 here in Romans, it goes on to say, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. You're like, what? Yeah, that's the kingdom. The kingdom is a lot of hard work. Pastor Dick always says, you spell ministry W-O-R-K. It's a great way to keep your head screwed on straight, knowing we got a task in front of us. God didn't call us to be lazy and not a part of what he's doing and not knit in and really matter and really belong. God called us to be a part of his moving church that is changing the world. One human being, one love relationship at a time. I love this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We see Paul trying to really line out these Corinthians. These guys are a disaster. God bless them. They're a lot like us, right? They're a mess. But he says, after all, chapter 3, verse 5, 1 Corinthians 3, 5. After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We're only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. This is in the context of these Corinthians getting super sideways, thinking they got to make an idol to Paul, or they follow him or follow somebody else. They're really lifting these guys and elevating them into places that they shouldn't be elevating them. We do this to leaders, don't we? And we want to follow something we can just touch, but God wants us to follow him, right? So anyway, we got Paul that's lining these guys out and saying, you're all screwed up. Stop just following me. You have to get your head screwed on here. We're only servants of God whom you just happen to hear the good news through. That's it. We're just doing our job. We're just being faithful with what God made us to do. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted, Paul said, the seeds in your heart, and Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes seeds grow. That's awesome. And he uses us, which is crazy and really cool, right? God just wants to, he jumped inside of you. He's going to use you to build his kingdom. He's going to do all these amazing things just through your life. The one who plants and the one who waters work together for the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their hard work. We are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Because of the grace, God's grace to me, I have laid a foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. It's cool to think about. Paul is saying, I'm God's worker. And he's talking to the Corinthians. He goes, you guys are my field. You're my building. And I'm the expert builder. Right? God called me to do something. And you're my field. And I'm called to sow and plant and plow in your field. You're it. And he was faithful to that. He put his hands to the plow with them. He was committed to them. He didn't just let go all of a sudden, say, well, it's just too hard. I'm just out. Right? It's like, I care about you. I know that I'm knit to you. I belong to you. And you are actually the thing God called me to do. And that's what I'm going to do, is be faithful to that thing. I want you to think about this. God made you to have a field. God gave you a field, a specific field, and he's called you to plow in it. He wants you to plow in it. Let's go back to Romans. Because of the privilege, verse 3, 12, verse 3, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think that you are better than you really are. Be honest with your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Each as our bodies, Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. What? Okay, listen, you're a believer. You're a Christian now. In fact, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. I love you with all my heart. Okay? Yes. Good step. Best step your whole life. Encounter with Jesus. You don't have to say it the way I say it. You could say it more meaningful. I encourage you to. But then, you belong to Jesus. But guess what? You don't only just belong to Jesus anymore. You belong to each of us. Now you belong to the church. Do you know that? This stuff about we don't belong to anybody, it's not real. We belong to each other. We matter to each other. God made it this way. He wants it this way. He wants us to matter to each other. This is why we can't just eject out of people's lives. We can't just disappear all of a sudden. We matter. We're supposed to belong. You do belong. Listen, it's hard. I get it. It's hard to open your heart again because we get hurt all the time. But God's called us to belong to one another. It's the way the kingdom works. We will not experience the fullness of what God has really destined for us and the grace that He has jammed inside your heart to come out and express itself and dig this big furrow in the ground, right? And have all this positive, awesome fruit growing up behind you. You and I will not experience those things if we don't buy into the fact that we're called to lay our lives down, committed to God as a living sacrifice, all of our needs set aside, and remember all the time, we're called to belong to each other. We are made for each other. We're a match made in heaven. Literally. Made in heaven, forged in your heart through the grace of God that causes us to have the ability to work together. Listen, a group like this, we're pretty eclectic, okay? There's a lot of differences between all of our backgrounds, where we come from. This doesn't just happen. You don't just like open up a store and then everybody just starts hanging out and loving each other and working together. When they're as different as we all are. You get a bunch of smokers together. You get a bunch of bikers together. A bunch of drinkers together. A bunch of people that like the Seattle Seahawks, go team. Right? Those things that really have no purpose will draw people together. But the kingdom of God draws all kinds, shapes, sizes, differences that make us so dynamic, so diverse, so unstoppable because of His love, His heaven alive in us, causing us to give us the ability to have these kind of relationships where we're knit together, as it says here in Romans, as the body working together. But you have to know that you matter and you belong to God and to the church, to others. Such a cool passage here in Hosea. This is the context of a lot of kind of hard things that are going back and forth. That Hosea is prophesying to Israel. But in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, this really cool little gem of a passage comes out. It says, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. Isn't that cool? Plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that He may come and shower righteousness upon you. Listen, we're all called to plow. All of us. We're all called to belong to one another. And when we stick our plow in the ground, guess what? You got to start in your own heart. Right here. You got to start. Stick that thing down in your own heart. It's got to break up that hard ground there. It's got to start there. And that's where you start running your furrow from. And then all of a sudden, you're sowing these seeds of love, right? These seeds of righteousness, the things of the kingdom in your trough behind you, your furrow, right? And all of a sudden that stuff's growing up. But if you don't start from your heart, it will all be superficial, pretentious. It won't be genuine. It won't really be kingdom life. Kingdom life is about reality, not falsehood. It's not fiction. It's not some story. It's about Jesus being alive in you for real. Man, set that plowshare right in your own heart and say, God, will you just break this thing up? I'm freaked out. I'm totally afraid to do it. It's scary. It's hard. You know what? Because I don't know about you, but I get really afraid that when I till up my heart and let people see it, they're going to leave me. I don't know where you're at, but I've had a lot of people leave me, especially being a pastor. Good night. If I'd have known, I wouldn't have signed up. But I didn't sign up. I was called. It's like you're called. See, look, I'm called to till up my heart and do the thing God made me to do. So I'm trying to do. And my job's not to look back and create this big crooked path and like, I don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing. No, I know what I'm doing. I can't do everything, but I can do the things that God made me to do. And you know what it says in here in Romans? It says, do those well. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a specific function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all many parts of one body. We all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Yeah, amen. Yay! I like doing stuff well. How about you? I don't like being bad at stuff, really at all. Look, find the thing you're good at. God put grace in you to do it. Know that you matter and belong. You're supposed to do it in the church, partnered with the church, working together with the church. Get your plowshare out. Stick it in your heart and say, this is going to be awesome. And look forward and just whip those oxen. Say, let's go. And get focused, man. Stay focused on what God made you to do. You're the most valuable where you add the most value. Come on, you're the most valuable where you add the most value. Not what you want to do the most, where you add the most value. Ask Pastor Dick. Been doing ministry twice as long as my heart's been beating, right? He's the most valuable where he adds the most value now in his life. Not when he was 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70, but now 80. 87 or 8? 88. We trying to set a record over there? Look, we change. Our gifts change. They do. Our effectiveness changes. Our abilities change. What we can and can't do. Follow the grace of God in your life. Look for gaps. Look for holes. Find things with the people you're partnered with where you can add value. And try to find the things where you add the most value in the season you're in. Can I say that one more time? Find the way to add the most value in the season you're in. If you're a beautiful songbird like Scott Hussey, and you can sing like an angel, and when you sing, the angels actually descend upon us. Yay. But when Scott's voice runs out, God bless it, I'm probably going to shed a tear. Dude's going to get old, just like all of us. There's going to be a day when he looks to someone else to lead him in worship. It's going to happen. There's going to be a day when I look to someone else to lead the service and lead preaching because I'm going to run out of my own strength. That grace is going to pass me. It's going to go on. And I'm going to have to find another way that I can add the most value in that season of my life. And listen, when you do that, then you look back on your furrow that you've been pushing and plowing. And you go, good fruit. In fact, the best fruit you could ever produce. Which is equal to the measure that anyone could ever produce. Because fruit is measured by faithfulness. Fruit is measured by faithfulness, not fantasticness. It's not. It's not about how flashy you are, how people compare about, like my gift. This is one of their problems, is we don't love the grace that God's put in our life for the season we're in. If God called you to serve, then do it with gladness and know, God, you're going to produce the maximum amount of fruit in my life right now because I'm strong, I'm mechanical, I know how to work, I know how to fix, I know how to do. And you know what? I'm going to stick my plowshare in, I'm going to just go for it in the season where I can be the most valuable there. And if that changes and find the other thing, listen, this is the perfect will of God for you. To stay rooted and connected to the grace of God moving in your life. And don't look back. Don't look back. Get this crooked path banging into everybody, getting all confused. Man, just stay focused and trust God that you don't have to have it all figured out. I don't have to have it all figured out. We can just love Him and trust Him. We start in our heart and go from there. Or it won't even be real. You won't see. You'll turn back and you'll be all like, why is the ground all hard? Your plowshare just scraping on the top. You can't plant anything in that. Stick it down in your heart and go. It'd be the best thing you ever did. You have to accept Jesus into your life. If you don't know Jesus, you need Jesus. You want to live an effective life, you have to soften your heart. You have to put the plowshare in first. Say, Jesus, I need you. Be the Lord of my life. I receive your forgiveness. I want to follow you. Boom, that's it. And God, reveal to me all my junk. Help me grow. I need you. I'm a mess. I'm a disaster. Don't be afraid to look at it. Don't be afraid to share it with your friends. And listen, church, matter and belong to other people. Don't judge them and beat them up because they show you how ugly they are. Right? Gosh, we need each other. We have to be able to expose ourselves, our hearts, our deep, vulnerable place of who we are to one another if we're going to really be able to partner and understand the grace of God moving in each one of our lives so we can continue to be fruitful. I love how Paul says, in his grace, that God has given us different gifts for doing things well. Verse 9 in chapter 12, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. One of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. Don't just pretend to love people. Really love them, which is hard. In the context of sacrifice, dying to yourself, offering your bodies as a living sacrifice, truly worshiping Him, changing the way you think, right? Stuff. Lots of stuff. Really good stuff in there. so good. Belonging to one another. That was what I was trying to say. I knew it was in there somewhere. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Goodness. Come on now. We got to get our game on. You got to get your game face on. In a sense of that, from your heart, you understand no matter what the circumstances are, how hard it is, I'm determined to accomplish the goal God put in front of me. Determination is this, and I believe we need a few key character traits to help us succeed in these goals that I'm laying out in front of you right now to understand the grace of God and move forward in the grace that He has given you to work together. You need determination, purposing to accomplish right goals at the right time, regardless of the opposition. You're going to see opposition when you are trying to accomplish the thing God has put in your heart to do. It's going to be hard for you as a person. It's going to challenge you to grow and become more like Jesus, to walk in humility, right? And you're going to run into difficult things. Just because it's hard doesn't mean you stop, right? You're going to finish plowing your furrow. You need to have a sense of duty, the urge to meet a moral religious obligation, man. You got to keep your hands on the plow. If a plowman just takes his hands off the plow, the thing goes crazy. The ox gets freaked out. He runs off in the woods and goes eat some grass and nothing gets done. And then you turn around and you look at the furrow that you dug. And as far as you dug, all the people that you invested in their life and you just give up. Listen, they feel abandoned. They get freaked out. They're like, where am I? They belong because you're here. They belong because they matter to you. That's what makes sense. But if you just evaporate, we're damaging all the investment we made. We're not going to see good fruit from that. God does transplant people. We have to leave right. We have to leave well. We have to explain to everybody what's really going on. We have to be responsible with the relationships that we've been plowing and digging and investing. You can't evaporate. This nation is struggling with abandonment like at no other measure than it's probably ever experienced before. We leave our post and our duty all the time as a nation. As a church, we cannot do this. We have to have a sense of duty and moral obligation to complete the things, the tasks that God asked us to do. When we start investing in people, we got to stick with them. We can't just evaporate and leave them. And that's scary, and I know that's a barrier for many of us to even start. But you got to put that plowshare in your heart and trust that God is going to, He's going to keep you safe. Even if broken relationships happen and you're working through stuff and people leave you, say like, you know what, God? I'm not leaving my post of duty. Keep your eyes on the furrow. Don't look to the left or the right. Joshua 1 says, be courageous. It takes courage to keep your eyes on the prize, doesn't it? It says, be strong and courageous. You know, be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you, not to look to the right or to the left. You'll be successful wherever you go. Pretty good promise that can be possible in the new covenant now because of what Christ has done through the grace of God. James 1:6, but he says, those who believe in, you know, believe and don't doubt. Because he who doubts is like the waves of the sea blown and tossed by the winds. That man should not think that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man and unstable in everything he does. Don't be looking to the left and the right. Trust the thing that God made you. He's going to fulfill it. Just stay focused on it. Keep your eyes to the end. That takes determination. That takes duty. That takes diligence. Diligence is investing my time and energy to complete a task that's been given or assigned to me. You also have to learn how to work with a team. Ecclesiastes 2 says that you and I, we're going to get a way better return on our reward when we work together. You don't only matter and belong to the church, then we need you. And if you leave, everybody gets weirded out and freaked out. It matters. You might not show up and then be gone and people don't call you, but they're freaked out. Don't test people to see if you matter to them. Please stop doing that. It's destructive. We just get weirded out. When someone just evaporates from your life, you go, did I do something wrong? And then you have all these conflict issues. And some people have the courage and the ability to be able to overcome all of that hurt. But it's really hard. If you're having a problem, talk about it. Look back in your furrow and tell everybody, I'm really struggling. I'm not perfect. I'm just doing my best trying to do what God called me to do. But I need you to help me. Right? Man. You also need each other for a good return. Listen, your return will be multiplied if you work with our church. Your return will be multiplied if we bind together and we don't give up and we don't let go. We keep working and plowing and pushing. The momentum becomes unstoppable if we don't stop and we don't let go. Right? That only happens when you work with the church. Period. The people of God working together, ordained by God to belong and matter to one another. Man, we need to get out and make some disciples, don't we? We need to lead some people to Jesus, make a big giant mess, matter to them, teach them about the basics of who Christ is in their life, and love them and be there with them and help them through their life and be vulnerable with them. Man, it's going to turn everything upside down. Last one here is diligence, investing my time and energy to complete each task given to me. It takes energy and effort. If you're not sweating at the end of the day, this is sort of a workspace kind of type thinking here, you didn't work hard enough. Like when I get home from work, I want to be tired. If I go to the gym, when I leave the gym, you know, I'm not tired. I didn't do what I went there to accomplish. Listen, if it's worth doing, it's worth giving 100%. God's not going to judge you or beat you up if you don't do it. All that punishment went on Jesus. That's great. Do you want to be fruitful? Do you want to maximize your fruitfulness? This isn't about condemnation and like, if I don't do this, I get beat up. No, this is about you and I plowing our life and looking back like the Apostle Paul, like Luther, like Billy Graham, and saying, that was good. Like, that was worth it. You and I can all live that same kind of life. We can all live that same kind of life. You got to be able to work together. You got to be willing to put in the energy and the time. Will you stand with me? God's grace alive inside of you, ready to go, ready to work. Right? What has God shaped you for? What has He made you to do? He's called us each to plow. He's called us each to keep our hands on the plow, right? He's called us each to keep our eyes focused on the end goal in mind. He's called us to work together and to belong and matter to one another. Come on, find a place to serve. Find a place to contribute. Get in, get your hands dirty. Open your heart, get your heart dirty, right? Get it messy, get it connected. Do some scary stuff. Get out of your comfort zone. Knit in. Man, find any place to serve and become valuable. Make yourself valuable, right? And then discover your gifts. Try stuff out. Figure out what you can do. Partner with people. Make stuff up. I don't care. I'm going to start a 12 a.m. discipleship group. Awesome. Don't ask me. Go do it. Grab our discipleship stuff and go do it. You want to start one at Kalani's or on top of the Sears Mall? I don't care. Do it. Something. Some kind of small group for somebody. Some kind of care group for something. Meet a young person. Love on them. Yeah. Guys to guys, girls to girls. Amen. Be wise. Do stuff in wisdom. Let's throw some wisdom stuff in this one too. Go, go, go. Be wise. Don't really screw it up. Don't make a big mess for me, but do awesome stuff. Listen, I love you. I believe in you. Maybe nobody's ever believed in you, but I do. You're here for a reason. You're here to make a difference. You matter. I want you to think about your furrow for 2013 and your furrow you're going to be digging for 2014. Have you started? Well, don't get all beat up. Read Romans 8. There's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. But do something fruitful. Right? It's fun. It's exciting. Don't get condemned. Man, you're going to start going. You're like, why wasn't I doing this my whole life? You might be 50 or something. You're like, what was I thinking? Who cares? You're going to heaven. That's why you can rejoice. It's not really that big a deal. God's going to redeem it. He's going to make it awesome. It's going to be fun. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Truly, there's just nothing like serving you. God, I'm just asking that even the hardest of hearts in the room today would soften their hearts and trust in you. God, I'm praying that they would give their heart over to you as Lord, Savior, Master, King, Deliverer. Lord, we love you. We choose you today. As a church, we choose you. We choose to knit together. We choose to move forward, God. We choose to work through our own issues and disagreements. And God, we ask for discernment to help us in wisdom on how to lead and how to serve and what to do. God, and give us courage. God, to just be bold and courageous like Joshua and step out and just do whatever it is you made us to do. Help us, God. There's no wrong way. God, just give us the courage to just contribute and go. And God, I'm praying for a tidal wave of salvations to happen through our lives. A tidal wave of salvations, God. I want to see thousands of disciples made and trained up and leading and moving and changing this city around us, God. We love you, God. We're asking you to make a giant mess through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, church. God bless you. Enjoy your week. Back on my feet.